Welcome back to Stack Trace, the show where we talk about Apple news and rumors from a developer's perspective. I am John Sundell, and I'm joined, like always, by my good friend, Mr. Guy Rambo. How's it going, Guy?
Hey, John. I'm doing great. I'm very refreshed after my vacation.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures from your exciting trip, which we'll talk about a little bit later. You'd seem to have a lot of fun up in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah. It was fun. I think we should maybe explain why we're releasing this episode when we're releasing it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
We shouldn't have an episode this week.
Right, yeah, we were so excited to do an episode, we just had to do it. and also, because Apple are doing their fall event, or their second fall event, their October event, next week. So we thought that it would be fun for us to do another poker episode, because we love to play poker about what Apple is going to announce in an event. So this is this episode, and it wouldn't be so much fun to play poker after the event, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we already have so much figured out that we have to remove items from the poker game, so doing it after the event would definitely not be fun.
I wonder whose fault that is.
Don't know.
Some Brazilian guy. Anyway, yeah. What have you been up to lately, except for being on vacation?
Well, not much. So I've been, I took a week and I went to the US, and this was like a Silicon Valley tour for me. So I visited many companies, and it was tons of fun. And I think my favorite place I visited was Apple Park, of course.
Yeah, I can imagine. It looks really magnificent, and it must have been really cool to see it with your own eyes.
Yeah, definitely. They have the little iPad demo kind of thing you do around the miniature Apple Park, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's like the most fun I've had with AR kit in real life since forever. So it was fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's one of those things like where you hold it up and you walk around, and as you pan it onto the model, it will like show stats and information and things like that about the building, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you can like slide up to reveal what's underneath the roof of the building, so you can actually manipulate things. So it's really interesting.
Oh, that's really cool. Nice. Yeah, I think like interactive exhibitions and things like that will be really big for AR. And you can already see some of these things coming. But I think that's like a really good use case of AR already, which is, you know, it's a little bit gimmicky still, like all of AR, but it actually like gives a lot of more value, and it makes it more fun to do something like that, like looking at the model of a building or an art exhibition or something like that.
Yeah, they could just use like a video or something, but this way, there were many people there, and each one can just look at what they want to look at, and interactively and on their own pace. So I think this is a very good application of AR.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. We'll be talking a lot more in detail about your trip, because we have a lot of reviews actually to get through on this episode. We're going to review the iPhone XS Max, some new MacBook Pros, because you've been at it again. You've bought yet another computer. And of course, we also want to do a review of the United States.
Which is the only old thing we're going to review today,
right,
which
exactly.
Is a first for Stacktrace.
Yeah, exactly. We usually review things that are about like 1 to 2 years old, not like hundreds of years old. So yeah it's going to be good.
So John, you have not been on vacation. What
No.
have you been doing?
I've been doing quite the opposite, actually. I've been really hard at work lately. It's been, you know, the beginning of fall for me is always like I have a big burst of energy because I'm no longer, you know, outside so much because it's getting colder and darker. So I am more inside, you know, in front of my computer, and I get lots of new ideas and things I want to work on. So I've been actually working on two brand new projects this past couple of weeks. And there are two new apps that I'm working on. And this feels really great because, you know, I've been a freelancer now for almost 2 years. And being a freelancer is a lot of fun, but it always means that you're working on either like existing projects or implementing new features, or you're maybe building like a prototype or something like that. So this is the first time in a while that I've had the opportunity to start a new project kind of from scratch that is an app project that is not only a prototype, but is actually something that I'm looking to ship. So this is really exciting, like setting up the architecture from scratch and really like using all of the techniques that I've explored lately. And I'm also planning to at least make one of these apps, maybe both of them, but at least one of them will be fully open sourced so that people will be able to see kind of how I build apps like this and the kind of techniques that I use and see some of the principles that I've talked about on my blog and on this podcast and on my other podcast and, you know, see them kind of in context. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really excited to see that. And just a quick question. Will this open source app have issues enabled?
Definitely not.
Oh, cool.
But it will be open for pull requests, of course. And I'm planning, just like with Splash, I'm planning to put together like a really nice architectural overview and a guide if people want to contribute and these kind of things. So yeah, I think it's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to it. It's the first time I'm really open sourcing an app. I know that you have experience with that, with the WWDC app and others. But this is the first time for me, so it's really exciting.
Awesome.
Cool. So why don't we start diving into our main topics? And the first thing we want to talk about is the iPhone XS Max, because you actually bought one. And this is the first time you're having such a large phone, because it's the first time Apple ever made such a large phone. So tell me, Rambo, how big is this thing and how does it feel to use it?
So yeah, as you said, it's the maximum phone Apple has ever made.
So. Exactly. It's right there in the name.
Oh yeah. So I'm gonna ask you to ask me questions about it later, because I'm not sure what you would like to know and what our listeners would like to know.
Sure.
But basically, I have been using the iPhone X for a year, and it's bigger. It's not as bigger as I thought it would be in terms of its physical size on my hand, but the screen is definitely a lot larger. The impression you get by looking at the screen is that it's a lot larger. But I don't feel the same in terms of holding it on my hand, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So yeah, so I really love the bigger display. As I mentioned before, I read a lot on my phone. I watch videos and stuff, so bigger display is always better. On my trip to the US, I had to take a long flight back, and I used it during the flight to watch videos. I didn't even bring my iPad, so watching videos on it during the flight was awesome and a lot better than on the iPhone X. Mm-hmm. And the landscape stuff on apps, I don't really use that, so I can't comment. But by testing, I noticed that most apps support it just fine.
And you mean this like split screen or split view UI, where you get like similar to on the iPad, you have your, for example, in Mail, you have the messages on the left and the window of messages on the right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I don't really use it, but I did some testing, and most apps that I use seem to support it just fine.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sounds good. So I had a Plus phone once for a couple of days before I gave it back. but it wasn't for me, you know, like I value lightness with my phones and them being as small as possible. I do love the iPhone X, but it's kind of borderline for me still after like a year of using it. It's like borderline of how big it is. I still feel like it's a little bit too big, but I'm still happy with it. But one thing I did love about having a Plus phone for a few days was I felt less inclined to go to my Mac to actually like reply to a message or reply to an email, because that's something that I do all the time. Like I will be on the couch, for example, and I will get an email or something like that. And I feel like I have to reply to it pretty quickly. And I actually go over to my office and sit down in front of the computer and actually write that email rather than writing it on my phone.
Like an animal.
Yeah, exactly. Like an old person, I guess. So my question to you is, do you feel the same way? Do you feel that this phone, this bigger phone, is making you feel less inclined to use your computer for typing?
I am one of those young people.
All right, not, the millennials. Like you.
Yeah. So for me, I guess I was already using my phone more than you are. But I definitely feel like I am comfortable using it for more complicated tasks more than I was with my iPhone 10.
Okay.
Like complicated in terms of I'm actually writing and replying to messages and writing down notes or setting up reminders, that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. And when you're watching video and things like that, you mentioned that you were doing that all the time and you didn't need any other device. Like, do you feel like the screen is big enough to really kind of immerse you into something like a video?
Yeah, if I'm in an environment where I can do that, like in an airplane, you don't even have space for your legs.
So, yeah, exactly. It's like it's right up in your face anyway, regardless of what you want to do.
So it's easy. Of course, I would prefer to watch everything in 4K on my 4K TV, but that's not always possible.
Yeah.
So I guess it gives you a good compromise between immersiveness and portability.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that sounds really good. And what are some of the drawbacks? Like, do you feel like there are any drawbacks because you've had the iPhone 10 now for a while? Do you feel like there's anything you miss with the smaller form factor, or do you feel like it's only positives going to the bigger screen size?
Definitely there are some issues, and you hit the nail on the head there. The problem is the size, of course. So using it with one hand is not as feasible as the iPhone 10. I could do most things on my iPhone 10 with just one hand, and that's not true with the 10s Max, unfortunately. But I am willing to trade having the bigger screen and having to be more careful about holding it properly and using both hands when I need to.
Yeah, yeah, that's that sounds fair. It was the same for me with the Plus as well. And I still feel kind of this with the iPhone 10 as well. Like, I don't feel super comfortable using it with one hand. Usually I will try to use it with two hands, but there's a lot of context when I can't. For example, when I'm out walking my dog and I'm holding the leash in one hand, then I will use it with one hand. But I always feel like it's not really comfortable using it in one hand. I really prefer two hands. Compared to when I had the iPhone 6 or earlier, I was really comfortable using it with one hand. So yeah, I would say for me also, going up to the 10 even, that was a pretty big trade-off.
Yeah, so like with the iPhone 10, I could, for instance, bring up Control Center with one hand without much effort, but with the 10s Max, it's you have to do a little bit of a maneuver to make that work.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's even in a maneuver on the iPhone 10. Like, I really have to stretch my thumb going up to the corner. But yeah, I can imagine on the Max that it's even more maximum, if we say it like that. So what's the camera like? Like, do you feel like it's a big upgrade from the 10 and as well as the screen? Like, these kind of hardware features, camera, screen, and these kind of things, battery life. Do you feel like it's a big upgrade in that regard?
Definitely battery life because, you can't really compare directly because my iPhone 10 was like a year old and not 100% battery health. But I definitely noticed an improvement in battery life. It does have a bigger battery, and because the screen is OLED, it doesn't use as much more power because of the bigger screen. So, so battery life is definitely improved. And the camera is definitely a lot better, especially when you're doing either very high dynamic range scenes, so with sun and stuff like that, and when you're doing stuff in low light. So those extremes have improved a lot with the iPhone XS camera, which is exactly the same between the XS and the XS Max. I would say if your phone is your only camera and you really value quality pictures, you should consider upgrading from the 10 to the 10S because it is a big improvement in the camera. And also, I must say that the beauty gate thing, remember that?
Yeah.
It's actually true. And I now understand why people were so upset about it. And
you feel like you look more pretty on your selfies?
Well, actually, not really. The thing is, you get used to how you look in the mirror and in pictures and stuff. And when it changes, it makes you feel weird.
Right. It's just like when you get a haircut. You feel like you look like another person.
Yeah, exactly. So when I tried out the selfie camera and I took a selfie, I felt weird because I looked very different than what I looked like on the iPhone 10. And just to be clear, this is actually not intended, and there's a software update coming up that's going to fix it.
Yeah, it's a problem with the computational photography and the smart HDR that they do. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're not intentionally smoothing your facial skin on purpose. So
yeah, exactly. Because also it's like, it's not only about smoothening the skin, but it's also like losing detail, right? So
yeah,
this is definitely something I think they want to fix because you don't want the camera that loses detail for any reason.
Yeah, so the cameras are better and the battery life is considerably better. So I definitely recommend the XS or the XS Max if you're looking for a camera and or a battery life upgrade.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds really good. I'm not going to get one. I'm not buying iPhones every generation. I am buying hardware like very, very occasionally and only when I really, really feel like I want new hardware or if I really need it for like testing purposes or development purposes. So for this one, I think I'm going to sit it out and see what Apple will have in store for next year. Maybe some bigger change or something like that, and we'll see. But it looks like a really solid product, and if I was one of these people that upgrades every year like you, then I will definitely go for it because it seems to be a great upgrade. It's just like, in general, I don't buy hardware that often. I stick with my devices until I really need to upgrade.
Yeah, that's cool. I admire that on you.
Thanks. So we talked on the last episode that you bought a MacBook Pro 13-inch, aka the MacBook Escape, this one that I have. But it turns out now that you've actually bought another computer. So Rambo, tell me, what's going on here?
Yeah, so this time I bought a Pro laptop, not the non-Pro stuff.
Yeah, you had the vacation laptop, and now you have the serious laptop.
Yeah, so I don't have to explain, but I will. So what happened is there are some new engineers joining my company, and some of them will need Macs, and my company offered to buy my laptop, the 2017 15-inch MacBook Pro that I've been using since last year, and they offered to buy it, and they offered a good price, so I decided to sell it to them and get me a new one. So
cool.
That's simple.
That's nice. Yeah, that's really cool when you can do that. I mentioned just a few moments ago that I don't like to buy new hardware, but whenever I have an opportunity like that, I usually take it, because the resale value on Apple products, especially computers, is usually fairly high. And then you have a chance to get a new computer, which is always super cool.
Yeah, and they prefer to do this. It's not the first time they've done it, because it's easier for them to just pay the employee and for their computer, and instead of going to a store and looking at the computers and or ordering online and waiting for them to arrive. So
yeah,
it's good for them, and it was good for me, so I decided to take the offer.
Nice.
And so now I am with the 2018 MacBook Pro 15-inch with touch bar. There's no 15-inch with no touch bar, but I actually like the touch bar, so I don't mind. And it's the 6-core i7. It's basically the top one, but it before the i9, because I thought about getting the i9, but first of all, it was more expensive. Second, it would take a month for it to arrive, and this one could arrive the day after I bought it. And it's not that much better than the i7. So I decided to stick to the i7.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking to a guy who's rocking a dual-core CPU here. So, I mean, I'm obviously going to agree that that was a good decision. So, yeah, well, that sounds really cool. Have you noticed any kind of big improvements over the last year's model, or is it kind of pretty much the same?
The keyboard is better. They added a little membrane, so it's better, and it's definitely quieter than the previous one. There's I'm gonna start a little conspiracy theory here.
Okay, interesting.
Because I noticed when I got my MacBook Escape that the feeling on the keyboard is different than my 15-inch. So initially I thought it was because my 15-inch was old, so the keyboard was like worn down from use. But the feeling on this new one is exactly the same as the feeling on and the sound on my MacBook Escape. So I'm wondering, did they add a little membrane to the Escape?
Ah, okay, I see where you're going. Yeah, it's quite possible, right? Because you would imagine that if they made some kind of improvements in terms of the keyboard, in terms of reliability, that they would want to put that everywhere where they can. And it might be hard to fit it into the smallest one, like the 12-inch MacBook, because it uses like a different design and it's even thinner. But for the 13-inch, I mean, the thickness is the same and the keyboard is pretty much the same as far as I can tell. So yeah, that would make total sense to me that they would also retrofit those models with a new keyboard without kind of making a fuss about it.
Yeah, and it doesn't require a brand new model. It's just like a change in the production line that just put this other keyboard in, which as far as we know, the only difference is the little membrane that's supposedly to dampen the sound, but it has this neat side effect of preventing dust and stuff from getting under the keys. So I think they did change it, and I'm not going to disassemble my keyboard to find out, but it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah, it has a different feel. Like, it was same with going from 2016 to 2017 model as well. Like, the feel was slightly different, and you could kind of tell that there was something happening under the hood. I wouldn't say that's unlikely for something like that to happen.
Yeah. Another thing that I did, which is new for me, is I did a clean install.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
Does it feel clean?
It's the first time I've done it, I think, because since forever, I've been using Macs since 2008 or something. And I've always done migration assistant. So just migrate from your old Mac to the new one using either the Time Machine backup or something like that. But I decided it was time for me to finally do a clean install. And
start over fresh.
Yeah. So this one, it came with High Sierra, so it was probably older stock, so it didn't come with Mojave pre-installed. So the first thing I did was to install Mojave, and so then I just started setting it up like a new Mac, with logging in, of course, with my credentials. So it's surprising how much comes over just by you logging in with your iCloud account. A lot comes over from that, but I actually did a little bit of a manual migration of my own by just copying preference files and keychain items and stuff like that, because that would be a pain to have to do it all over again. So yeah, I just copied manually the stuff I wanted to. So I left lots of stuff behind. So my previous Mac had like 60 gigabytes free, and this one has like 200.
Oh,
all
wow.
The crap that I didn't brought over.
Nice. Yeah, it's, for me, I actually do a clean install every time I buy a new Mac, which, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's not that often.
Every 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's time now. It's been 10 years. And when I do, I do a clean install because I like to do the same thing like you did. Basically, pick what I want to bring over and still keep a backup around of the old machine and, you know, in case I forgot something. But to actually move things over and just kind of make that decision, like, do I really need this? Do I really need that? And, you know, I'm a kind of a little bit of a messy person on my computer. I do like a lot of, you know, experiments and prototypes, and I do a lot of stuff that it's just for fun. And I just keep those things around like on the desktop. And then every once in a while, I move them to a folder called cleanup. And this folder is now like, you know, 40 gigabytes or something. So this folder definitely is left behind when I move to a new machine. And also I realized last time I did this, which was last year, was that if I, like you said, if I log in with iCloud and I have Git and everything from GitHub, then I'm pretty much done, you know? Like, I get almost everything that I need. And then with things like Homebrew, installing all the tools I need, things are pretty much set up. So yeah, that's why I do a clean install, because it's not that much work and it feels kind of good to start over from scratch.
Yeah, like my setup is such that even if I didn't have a time machine backup, my most important stuff, so the stuff that I would actually be in trouble if I lost, all of that is in either some Git repository somewhere, Dropbox, or iCloud. So
right.
Everything is synced and backed up. So yeah, it's not a big deal. But I do have an actual physical backup that I can resort to if something is missing.
Yeah, that's always good to have that lifeline in case you need it. So you don't want to completely blast the old machine, you know, before you're 100% sure that you either have everything or that there's some backup somewhere of it.
Yeah, and like stuff like my spelunking toolchain, which you heard about. I have that. It's usually just binaries in user local bin, so it's all there, but... And I could probably just recompile it from all over the place because it's composed of several tools I got from several different places and some which I've written myself. But it's easier to just copy the binary over and have it. So I did that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. So congrats on the new machine. And we'll see how eventually which one you're going to use the most, if it's going to be the non-pro laptop or the pro laptop. Knowing you, I think it's probably still going to be the pro laptop. But maybe once you start doing a bit more traveling, then you're going to be more in the 13-inch club. We'll see.
Well, I brought my 13-inch to the US.
Well, there you go. That one has been abroad and the other one has to stay at home. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the AirPower article I released earlier this week was written... mostly while I was traveling from Canada to the US in the airplane.
Wow, that's
really cool. Using my non-pro laptop.
Yeah, exactly. So you can do a lot of pro work on a non-pro laptop, it turns out.
The advanced stuff like writing.
Exactly. Yeah, put those two CPU cores to good use with pushing letters onto the screen. But I mean, coding is just writing as well, right? I mean, that's what we do all day. So there you go. Anyway, moving on. Speaking about your trip, you recently went to the US. So I'm really curious to hear about your impressions, because going to the US for the first time is very exciting, because you hear so much about it and so much of the kind of not only like media, but products and everything that we get in touch with come from the US. So it's always fun to hear people's kind of first impression whenever they go there for the first time. So what was it like, Rambo? Was it just like in the movies?
Being in my position and going to Silicon Valley is like a kid going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Because I sent you a picture. So we visited the Dropbox office, I think in San Francisco, and we went like a block away to have lunch at a Mexican place. and right around the corner was the Cloudflare office.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just walking there, and all of a sudden, there's the headquarters of this company I love and I use and been talking about for so long. I didn't visit them, but yeah, I was very close.
It was so funny because whenever any of my other friends go on a trip, they always send me pictures of like being on the beach or some cool food they're eating or, you know, some incredible nature or something they're seeing. But from you, I pretty much just got pictures of office buildings. It's like, look at this cool company. Look at this cool company. And that was just really hilarious to me to see that. But it was really fun. And it seems like you had a really great trip. And I was amazed because you were very efficient. Like, you were doing your sightseeing incredibly efficiently, it seemed. So did you have like a very, very strict schedule that you were following?
Yes, because I need to explain how it worked, because I was actually part of a group.
Like the Brazilian delegation.
Yeah,
it was a diplomatic mission.
Yeah, so there's this website, this Brazilian website called Mac Magazine. And they have been around for many, many years. And they have been doing this for many, many years. It's a tour that they do of Silicon Valley. So they gather, I think it was 14 people. And we go to the US and we rent a van. And we go visit companies and places. And of course, the touristy stuff like the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz, all that cool stuff. So yeah, so that's why I managed to be so efficient, because I had pros doing the work for me.
Nice. It was not a non-pro trip. It was a pro trip. Yeah, that's good. So yeah, so they had the van and they were like driving you around and they had the schedule and they had everything booked already. So like Dropbox knew that you were coming and everything like that.
Yeah, of course. And there's a downside to that, which is that I had many like friends and people who know me from there that would like to see me. And of course, I would love to see them as well, but I couldn't because I was busy with the trip schedule, which is not a bad thing. Like it's a bittersweet kind of situation because I was in the trip when we were doing like Apple Park and the Steve Jobs garage and stuff like that. But there were all of these friends around, and I had only one free day there. So I had to choose. So yeah, that was a little bit tricky. But I'm definitely going back someday, and then I'm going to be having more time to meet my friends there.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back in San Jose for WWDC next year.
Yeah, we are definitely planning on that.
Yeah, so then we'll... Well, I'm not going to say we're going to have more time, because we're probably actually going to have less time, but still, it's always fun to come back. And for me also, like, I like to do different kind of trips. Like, sometimes I do a trip that is just like the one you went on, like highly efficient, very planned. You know, I just want to see a lot of stuff, or I have some mission in mind, you know, something that I want to do. But sometimes I just like to go with a blank slate of paper, you know, a blank sheet of paper to just go somewhere and see what happens, you know, what's going to happen in Paris this weekend or something like that. And, you know, these are very different kind of trips, but usually both turned out great in their own kind of sense.
Yeah, this was a very touristy kind of trip where you go and you stay at a hotel at a nice place and you go to the touristy places. And for us, a bunch of tech nerds, the tech companies are touristy places as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so this was a very touristy kind of trip, but you can do like the more experience the culture kind of trip where you go and you stay at a hostel or an Airbnb or something, which was one of the companies we visited, by the way. So yeah, you can do both, and they have both advantages and disadvantages. So it's your choice. So yeah, so highlights of the trip. I must say that the Golden Gate Bridge is beautiful. And we actually rented some bikes, and we did like we biked across the Golden Gate Bridge, which was fun. And Alcatraz is fun as well. I took some very nice pictures, in my opinion, there. Mm-hmm. I loved Five Guys, the burger place.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's very interesting. And yeah, the burger was good, and the fries as well.
But next time I'm taking you to In-N-Out.
Yeah, you can't go to the US and not have burgers.
Yeah, no, that's impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. So another very cool place we visited was the Computer History Museum.
Oh yeah, I've heard really good things about that one.
It's very, very good. And oh my god, it's huge. You can't, like, you have to take like a full afternoon or something to actually get to see everything, or just like go really quickly through the entire museum because it's very large.
Nice. Yeah, that's the kind of museums I usually like, and I don't go to a lot of museums, I'll admit, but I love the big ones. Like, for example, when I was in London, you know, I love to go to like the National History Museum and like the big ones where you can walk around for hours and you'll have lunch there and you walk around some more and you can kind of explore it at your own pace. Those are usually really cool. So I would love to go to this museum for sure.
Yeah. So those are like the highlights. There was a funny situation when we visited the Google, do they call it Googleplex still?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think they do, yeah.
Yeah, so you can go there. You can't go inside, of course, but you can walk around and see. There's a visitor center just like Apple's where you can buy Google stuff. And there was a party going on. So the day before, we talked to each other and we said maybe we should all take our t-shirts we bought at the Apple Park Visitor Center and wear the Apple t-shirts to Googleplex when we go to Googleplex.
How did that turn out?
So we thought it would be funny to take picture the with the Android logo using the Apple t-shirt, which I did, and you can see the picture on my Instagram and Twitter.
Nice.
So we went with the Apple t-shirts, and it turns out they were holding a party for the 10 years of Android.
Perfect timing.
So we walked, like, it was outside, and it was, of course, a private party, so we didn't join the party, but we walked like through the party, the Android anniversary party, wearing these Apple t-shirts and getting some dirty looks.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it was funny.
Yeah, it almost looks like there's some people here from Apple trying to crash our party, you
yeah
know?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's really funny. Cool. So overall, like, how would you rate your trip? Like, did it live up to the expectations? Did it exceed the expectations? Like, yeah, how was it overall?
It exceeded my expectations. It was fun. And the only thing I didn't like about the US was the coffee.
Oh, interesting.
Because we have such good coffee here. So, yeah, I don't blame them.
Right. Yeah. It's always tricky with coffee because, you know, I think we're both the same here. Like, you are particular about the way you make your coffee and the beans you buy and these kind of things. And if you are this kind of person, I mean, I don't want to sound like snobby or anything because I don't see myself as like a coffee snob or anything. Like, I love coffee in kind of all shapes and forms. But if you're really used to like a specific kind of coffee and then you go abroad, like, it's not that the coffee is worse. It's just like very different and it takes a while to get used to.
Yeah, but like the coffee there was usually too weak for me. Very diluted or something. So yeah, I'm not a coffee snob either. Like, but usually
as long
here,
as it's Brazilian, it's fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, usually here, I can have basically any coffee anywhere, and I'll probably not find it awesome, but I will at least like it. To the point that I can drink it. But yeah, there it was a little bit disappointing. And I should also review a little bit of Canada.
Oh yeah, the big part of Canada that you saw.
Yeah, the airport.
I guess.
So we took this weird kind of route to go to San Francisco, which was through Toronto, which is weird because we kind of had to go way, way up and then come down again.
Yeah.
Not very efficient, but there aren't any direct flights that I know of from Brazil to San Francisco. It's very far. If you look in the globe, it's actually very far. So we took this weird route. But it was fun because we got to see a little bit of Canada. And the little bit of Canada I saw, I liked a lot. And the people there were very friendly.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to visit Canada. It's definitely really high up on my list of countries to visit. So hopefully maybe even next year or the year after I'll be able to go there.
Yeah, and I don't know if it works this way for every nationality, but we did the U.S. immigration still in Canada. So they have
a
partnership. And even the U.S. immigration was really fine, like super easy and quick and friendly. So yeah, it was a good experience overall.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds good. Awesome. So what do you say? Should we jump over and start playing some poker?
Oh yeah, the best part of the episode.
Let's do it. But before we do, let's take a very quick break and tell everyone a little bit about our Patreon. Because as you might know, we are running a Patreon for this show to help fund it and to help us spend more time on it, making the episodes better and better for you. And you can find our Patreon at patreon.com/stacktracepod, where you can help fund the show with as little as $1 per month. But if you do give us $5 per month, you'll be able to join our after shows, which is a monthly live stream that we do for all our Patreons on this tier. And on the last one, we actually built a Swift editor that could compile and run Swift code and had syntax highlighting and all that stuff. And all the code for that demo is also up on Patreon for all the members to download and have fun with. And next week, we're going to do a special kind of prediction after show on Monday, which is going to be a lot of fun. So if you're interested in this kind of stuff and want to help us support this show, then head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/stacktracepod, which would be really, really cool. But now, onwards and upwards, and let's do some poker. So just to go through the rules again real quick. So the poker format is kind of our twist on the prediction episode that most podcasts do before an event. And the way we do it is that we have different rounds, and for each round we pick something that we think is going to happen. And in order for it to be qualified, it needs to happen on stage. Like, on stage, this thing that we talk about needs to happen. So it can't be in a press release, it can't just be on the website, it needs to be in the actual event. And whenever we pick an item, we can pick from +5 to -5 points, which means that if I think that something is really going to happen, I will give it 5 points. And if that thing does happen, then I get those 5 points. But if it doesn't, then I lose those 5 points. So I get 5-. And the same thing is true for the reverse. So that's the rules. And normally we do 10 rounds each for like the big events. But we think this one is going to be slightly smaller and more narrowly focused. So this time we're only going to do 5 items each. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. Are you excited, Rambo?
Of course I am. So, I think you start, right? Because you won the last one.
I did, yeah. That was very surprising to me that I won the last one. So, let's see how I'm going to do. Actually, this is exciting because I won one poker and you've won one poker. So, this will be the tiebreaker.
Ooh,
who
nice.
Will be the poker master of 2018? That's going to be the question.
Let's see.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to maybe pick a little bit of an obvious one, but I'm going to pick that we're going to see a demo of Photoshop for iPad. So Adobe, I think it was last week, they had their own conference where they showed off like their new products. And one of the key products they showed off was Photoshop on iPad, like not Photoshop for iPad, but on iPad, like a proper version of Photoshop, the real Photoshop running on iPad. And I think it's going to be very unlikely for Apple to do an event about the iPad and not show this product in some way. So I am betting that there will be some kind of demo of Photoshop on the iPad. And I'm going to go ahead and start right out the gate with 5 points bet on that one. What do you say?
I'm going to give that a 5 as well. It's cool. Very obvious. Oh, and by the way, we should mention that we excluded 2 items from this poker game because they are basically confirmed already.
Confirmed as in found by you.
Well, not just me, but yeah. So those two items would be the fact that there are going to be new iPads. That's pretty obvious. And that the new iPads will have Face ID, which will work in both orientations. So those can't be picked because they are obvious.
Exactly. Yeah. All other things are fair game.
All right.
All right. So what's your first pick going to be?
I'm going to start with an accessory.
Ooh.
So I'm going to say that there's going to be a new version of the Apple Pencil.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a really good pick.
Yeah, so I'm not saying what it's going to have, what it's going to look like, just that there's going to be a new version of the Apple Pencil. I'm not even sure if they're going to call it like Apple Pencil 2 or something, but there's going to be a new version of the Apple Pencil, and I'm giving that a 5.
A 5. Rambo, I'm detecting a little bit of a different strategy here from last time. Last time was very adventurous, but now, you know, you're going more for the safe ones. But I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I think that's a valid tactic. So you're saying any new version of the Apple Pencil, but it needs to be have some new features, right? It can't just be like, here's the new Apple Pencil, but it's kind of the same thing. Or like, do you want to put some kind of qualifiers on it?
Well, I'll say that they need to actually call it out as a new Apple Pencil. Like, because if there aren't any new features, then they wouldn't even have to call it anything. They wouldn't even have to mention it. They would just say, oh, and the Apple Pencil also works with the new iPad Pro.
Yeah, but, sure.
They are going to talk about a new Apple Pencil in some shape or form.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. I think it's about time that we get a new Apple Pencil because there are some things that could be improved with the current one, and I would love to see that happen. So I'm going to go with a 5 here as well. We're going to start out with these big bets, but this is usually how it goes, and then we get a little bit more cautious as we go. But you didn't add any qualifiers to this bet, and that's fine, but I would love to hear what you think. Like, what new features do you think could the new Apple Pencil have without kind of having to bet on it?
Yeah, I believe it's going to have a more automatic type of pairing, kind of like the AirPods or kind of like the Crayon.
Yeah.
So you just put it close to the iPad and it works like that. Maybe it will have some sort of UI like the AirPods or HomePod to set it up. Maybe they will add a button to it, maybe 2 buttons, so you can activate.
This is Johnny I we're talking about. Buttons? No way.
Yeah, I'm not saying physical buttons, but maybe pressure-sensitive areas on the sides that you can press to activate shortcuts in apps. That would be cool.
As long as it has like a really fancy name, like the digital touch area or something like that.
The artistic touch tool. Something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to have something like that. Maybe the eraser. You can flip it over and use the back as an eraser, and the app will detect that as a different type of touch.
And, that'd be really cool.
And also USB-C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, instead of Lightning, which it has currently. And another thing I was thinking about is that, could there be a possibility of this new Apple Pencil supporting wireless charging and maybe even wirelessly charge to the iPad itself? So imagine you would like connect it magnetically to the iPad to also, attach it some way, which the current Apple Pencil does not, and then wirelessly charge it. Do you think that could actually be a possibility?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it wirelessly charging, but it would be charging without a cable. So you would attach it to a specific place on iPad and it would charge that way. But it would be still be a connection, but not like a wire connection.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. All right, let's move on to the next pick. And I'm going to pick that, speaking of USB-C, I think that we will see for the first time an iOS device with USB-C, and I think it's going to be the new iPad, and it will replace the Lightning port, so you will only have a single USB or maybe 2, but I think it's going to be single, but I'm not betting on the number of ports, but knowing Apple, it will probably be just one, right?
Yeah.
So, but that the new iPads will indeed have USB-C instead of Lightning. And I am betting 4 on this.
So just to be clear, if they add USB-C, but they keep Lightning, you don't win the points, right?
Then I don't win the points. I'm betting that it replaces Lightning completely.
Cool. So I'm gonna give it a 3.
A 3, all right.
Just because I'm not so sure they're actually going to fully replace it. I think it's a safe bet still, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, how would the design look with two ports, you know?
And yeah, I'm just seeing what that's the problem I have with it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it, because also these ports are not very symmetrical. Of course, maybe they could do something to make them look more, you know, like have some kind of grill look or something like that. But just knowing Apple and the design direction they've been heading now for quite a while, it feels like it's going to be a single port.
Maybe they designed a part that can work with both Lightning and USB-C.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that. And I was even looking at, like, comparing my MacBook to my iPhone. And I was like, this is going to be hard, you know? So probably what they'll do is what they have done so far when to solve this problem. And it's, you know, let's just take a good old-fashioned trip to Dongle Town, right? This is how you solve these problems.
All right.
All right. Cool. So what's your next pick going to be?
So my next pick is going to be that there's going to be a new connector on the new iPad Pro, and it's going to be a magnetic connector.
And this is the new connector that you've heard rumors about, right? That there's some form of new connector coming to the iPad. People have been speculating whether it's going to be on the back or something like that, but that is going to be a magnetic connector this time.
Yeah, we've seen even some CAD renders that showed this kind of hole at the back of iPad where this connector would live. And it's interesting in a weird way. It's not clear what they're going to use it for, but my guess is that it would replace the current smart connector. And this could be where the Apple Pencil would be attached to for the wireless kind of charging you mentioned. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the my bet is composed of the new connector that it's going to be a magnetic connector. So that's all I'm betting on.
That's all you're saying for now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. And how many points?
I'm going to give it a 4.
All right, cool. I'm going to kind of keep the same symmetry going here, so I'm going to give it a 3. And I know that we've seen quite a lot of evidence about it, but I'm also thinking that, you know, there's already the smart connector. What could be the improvements to this one compared to the current one? Of course, there's many possibilities, but I'm also thinking, like, you know, having a connector of some sort, maybe trying to do that wirelessly instead, which we've seen most, actually, like, keyboard manufacturers not using the smart connector, instead going for Bluetooth. And especially if they're going to incorporate some kind of Bluetooth plus magic sauce-like things for the new Apple Pencil, then maybe they could use that instead. You know, this is all speculation, but yeah, I still think it might happen, but I'm going to give it a 3.
Cool. So what's your next pick?
My next pick is going to be a bit adventurous, I guess. And this is because this product has been seemingly dead for quite a long time. But every once in a while when we're playing this poker, I love to throw in a bet that is just based on my own hopes and dreams in hope that my poker thing turns into reality. So I'm going to bet that there's going to be a new Mac Mini.
Ooh.
And and this is based mostly on the rumors we've heard about that there might be a new Mac Mini coming this fall. It's obviously long overdue for an update, so, you know, that's another factor. And also the fact that it seems to be that Apple are kind of trying to change course a little bit when it comes to their Mac strategy. There was this, like, big Mac roundtable a while ago, and it seems like the kind of things to come out of that are starting to kind of come a little bit here and there. So I think a new Mac Mini could happen. Maybe it will be more pro-focused. I'm not really betting on that, but I think it might be. I think it might be, like, pitched as a desktop computer or like a portable thing you could use for servers, you could use it for CI and things like that. So I think it would definitely make sense given that this is going to be probably a more like pro-focused event. So new Mac Mini, going to give it a 3.
All right. So this is... It's complicated because I kind of want to bet the same as you. So it's not, doesn't make for a very fun game.
Right.
But I'm actually going to, I guess, be a little more risky and I'm going to give it a 5.
Oh, wow. Okay, here we go. And giving it a 5, is it just in the spirit of the game or is it actually something that you feel like this is really, really likely to happen?
I don't feel that it's that likely that I would give it a 5, so I'll say it's for the game.
Nice, that's good. Take one for the game. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right, so I have a different pick because I'm going to do a negative pick.
Ooh, negative picks. This is always fun.
I'm going to pick that the new iPads won't have an OLED display.
That they will not have an OLED
display. They will not have an OLED display.
All right. And yeah, I definitely agree with that. But just to kind of summarize our thinking, what do you think is the reason they won't have an OLED display?
I just think it's either too technically challenging and also in terms of supply chain, but it would also be way too expensive.
Yeah. So I also think that it's almost like borderline. I mean, it's hard to say these things because once you see something like that with OLED, you're like, wow, I wish we've had this since forever. But it feels like less of a necessary thing on a bigger screen because the display technology they already have based on LCD is already incredibly good. And this has been a big theme with the iPhone XR with a lot of reviews coming out this week about that the screen is actually really incredible, like really good, even though it's not OLED. And this is really great that Apple, like, they've been able to advance LCDs so much that they are actually like almost OLED-like. Of course, there are some aspects of OLED that, you know, OLED can't be matched with LCD. But I just feel like it's less of a priority on a product like iPad. Or what do you think?
Yeah, and there's another aspect I forgot, which is I believe they haven't been able to make promotion work with OLED. Because if they had, they would add promotion to this year's iPhones, and they didn't. So yeah. I feel like it's still a challenge. And there are many issues with getting a big OLED display to work with promotion and the Apple Pencil and be not super expensive. So yeah, I feel like it's a safe bet that there won't be an OLED iPad this year.
Yeah, and how many points?
4.
4. And I'm going to give this one a 5. I'm going to go all in on this one. because, yeah, I really don't believe that it's going to be... If it's going to be an OLED display on this iPad, it's going to be a huge shocker. So, yeah. Because, like you mentioned also with ProMotion, I think that's, like, speaking of priorities, that's a way higher priority on a device like iPad. Because you have a much, much bigger screen. You see that screen tearing much, much more, especially with OLED, which has quite a lot of screen tearing. And especially combined with the Apple Pencil. So yeah, I think LCD is still the way to go here.
And what's your next pick?
For my next pick, I want to bet on whether the new iPads will support 4K HDR video outputs. We talked about it on the last episode that there's been rumors and suggestions based on that you can output more high resolution video on the new iPads. So I think this will definitely happen. I think it's a big reason that they're moving to USB-C to be able to support those things and also to kind of future-proof the device and maybe try to turn it more into a desktop computer as well. Maybe not this year, but eventually. So I'm betting another 5 on 4K HDR video output on the new iPad Pro.
It's going to be hard to break the tie.
Yeah.
Because this is a 5 for me as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, it definitely looks like it, and it makes a lot of sense from many angles. So yeah, But, you know, we got to pick these ones, even if they're a little bit more obvious. But, you know, we want to get those sweet, sweet points, right?
Of course.
We have done 7 picks so far, which means that you have 2 left and I have only 1 left. So, yeah, make them count, Rambo.
There are better ones in terms of how likely they are, but I feel like we should have at least one adventurous, like really adventurous one. So yeah. I'm going to go with it. There will be an external display announced that we work with this new iPad Pro with touch support.
Ooh, yeah, I like this
and
one.
And it's going to be either by Apple or from like a partner like LG or something. So you're
LG
going to,
Ultra Fine Touch.
Yeah, you're going to be able to connect an external display to this new iPad Pro. And you're going to be able to actually use iOS on this external display with touch.
That would be huge. My biggest question, and you don't have to bet on this, but just for speculation, when the iPad is kind of docked in this mode, how do you think it would act? Would you kind of just use it for some accessory thing, maybe for drawing with the Apple Pencil? Like it would act almost like these Wacom tablets? Or do you think that it would just be idle, like it would almost be running a Mac in clamshell mode? Like,
I believe you'd be able to do both. Maybe you could like have one application on the iPad and another one on the external display. Maybe you could have the same app display a separate window in the external display, which is actually already supported by iOS.
Yeah.
So currently apps can have multiple windows that show on different displays. Also, maybe they'll have some interaction, like you said, using the iPad, kind of like a Wacom tablet and using the external display as a display. So, yeah. And I'm going to give it 1.
Very adventurous here, right? Well, the bet was adventurous. I'm going to give you that. All right.
But yeah. Keep in mind, John, keep in mind that nothing I pick is out of sheer hope or just because.
No, yeah, that's my strategy. I don't think that's your strategy. I think you know way more than me about these kind of things. So, yeah, that's why it's fun playing poker with you. It almost feels like playing poker with someone who can look at your cards. I'm gonna go with a minus bet for this one. So you have +1. I'm gonna go with -3. So I'm betting 3 points that we're not gonna see this. So even though I would love to see it, but yeah, we have to play the game. And I think this is a little bit too early still for iOS to get some support like this.
It would be so much fun to watch the event with you if they announced it.
I mean, I would love it. I would be super happy. I would gladly lose those 3 points to get this kind of device. That would be incredible. But yeah.
Your next pick?
All right. For my next pick, let's also go a bit adventurous. And I'm going to pick that the new iPad will have some form of mouse or trackpad support. Ooh. So this is also something that we've speculated on previous episodes, where what would happen if iOS would have some kind of mouse or trackpad support. And, you know, with this new form factor, they're probably going to come out with a new smart cover, a new keyboard cover, and I don't see it as to be too unlikely that there will be some form of trackpad. Now, to kind of anchor my bet here and to kind of give the scope of it, I'm not saying that it will mean that all apps will automatically have the support, but just the fact that you would be able to manipulate text, for example, with the trackpad, just like you can when you force touch on the keyboard on the iPhone right now, you can move the insertion point. So some form of trackpad support on the new iPads. And I'm going to give that a 4, just to, again, be a little bit crazy and go for it.
All right, I'm gonna give it a 2.
All right, cool. Now we're talking. Now it's exciting.
Yeah.
And do you think it's a really low chance that even something like just text insertion, like very limited to just system level support, is very unlikely, you think?
I don't think it's unlikely.
You're just playing the game.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. So the last pick for you, which is going to be your last pick?
Oh, I have to choose wisely.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to pick a fun one. It's not very adventurous, but I think it's fun. So I'm going to pick that there's going to be a new Mac announced, which is not going to have a touch bar, but is going to have Touch ID.
Ah, nice. Okay. So it would be like the MacBook Escape, but with Touch ID, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, it could be the MacBook Escape. It could be the Mac Mini. It could be an iMac. But of course, the adorable is more likely. So yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it a 3.
All right. 3 points for a non-touch bar Mac. Wouldn't it be funny if the Mac Mini had a Touch ID? Like, you know, on the top of it, there's like a fingerprint reader. And you just to authenticate. It would actually be pretty cool, you know, if it's sitting on the desk in front of you, you just go beep, you know.
Yeah.
Authenticate. Maybe it would also have like this wireless card reader as well, so you can just beep. You know, like you can touch anything on it. Oh, it even God. Has support for this Nintendo characters, so, you know, this Nintendo, whatever they're called, you can put over with NFC. Yeah, I don't know. I'm digressing here. All right, so that's a funny one. I am going to go with another minus bet here, actually. I'm going to give it a -2. And the reason for that is I think that with this one, we're going to see mostly pro laptops. And I think with pro laptops or pro Max, I mean, if it's going to be a pro event, I think that the MacBook Escape, like that was just kind of a bridge product going from non-touch bar to touch bar. I think now Apple, they're just full in on the touch bar for now, at least. Whether or not it's a good strategy or whether or not it's going to succeed or fail, well, that's we'll see. But, you know, as you know, I'm not a big fan of the touch bar, unlike you. But I still think it's kind of unlikely that they will do any kind of Mac product with Touch ID, but without the touch bar. Also because they have to do that little watch OS computer inside in order to even be able to do Touch ID. So, yeah, that's it's a tough one, but I think definitely it's a minus for me.
Don't forget that there's already a Mac that has the little Apple Watch inside it that does not have a touch bar.
And which one is that? Oh, the iMac Pro.
Yeah, and it's actually, it's been promoted from an Apple Watch to an old iPhone.
Yeah, exactly, that's true. It's grown because, up.
Yeah, it's actually an A10 now.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, so that's all of our picks for this poker game. We'll see. May the best man win. And just like all the other poker games, we'll publish a PDF that'll be in the show notes with all of our picks. And you can pick yourself and you can send your PDF to us or a screenshot or something on Twitter. We'd love to see that. And it's always a lot of fun to see what your bets are. And of course, for those of you who will join our after show, we'd also love to hear your bets and these kind of things on the live stream as well. But before we go, let's do a little bit of honorable mentions. So to do these poker games, what we usually do is that we put together a list of potential picks and then we just pick from that list to make it a little bit easier and more uniform. So Rambo, why don't you go through some of the things that we didn't end up picking and kind of what our thoughts are on those?
The first one is an evergreen one, which is that there was going to be a game demo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
This one is almost all keynotes have a game demo. Although I think this next one is a candidate to not having a game demo just because it's supposedly going to be more pro focused. So I think the Photoshop demo can be a little bit longer and they can skip the game demo.
Yeah, and it could still show the same things, like the power of the GPU, which is usually what they use these game demos for. It's not that Apple is super excited about games because, well, they're getting maybe more excited with AR and stuff, but mostly they just want to show off the power of the hardware, and games are a great way to do that because games usually push the GPU to its limits.
Yeah, but Photoshop is a great candidate
absolutely.
For that.
It's a really great candidate, yeah.
Yeah, and the new iPad is going to have an A12X processor, and it's going to have a new GPU, so yeah, it makes sense to have at least one demo that can show the power of the new hardware. We also have here that, this is also a fun one, AirPower is not going to be mentioned during the event.
You didn't have the heart to pick that one, right? And neither did I. Like, yeah, I know how much you love this product and want to see it mentioned and released. But yeah, it's a sad story for now.
I think it's never going to be mentioned at an event ever again. At least not before it's actually released, which we have seen some pretty good evidence that it is going to be released eventually. But it's definitely behind schedule. And so it's not going to be mentioned before it's released. They're probably going to just put it on the website and that's it. We also have here another product in their product line, the iPad Mini gets an update.
You mean the iPhone XS Max, right?
Yeah, sure. there's been some rumors about around iPad Mini. I have seen some stuff that could maybe kind of suggest new iPad Minis, but very faint evidence.
Yeah, the reason I joke about the iPhone XS Max here is that, you know, these products are really, really approaching each other in terms of screen size. And they could probably make a cheaper Mac Mini than the iPhone XS Max. So that might be a reason to have it stick around, but it just seems really unlikely.
Yeah. We also have here a redesigned smart cover to like work with this new magnetic connector we mentioned.
Yeah,
that would be a good bet, actually. That the new iPads won't have a headphone jack. Courage.
Yeah.
That the new iPad's display will be LCD and be called liquid retina. And I don't know if I mentioned during the show, but I have a feeling that they invented the liquid retina name just because of the new iPad, which is not out yet.
To make it not seem like inferior to the OLED phones.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it serves that purpose for the iPhone XR as well. So just to make it, you know, not sound like a big, big downgrade. But I mean, Apple, they love to do this, right? Promotion and all these things, like name all the screen technologies with their own marketing name. So yeah, I think that would definitely make sense.
We also have on the list a new version of the MacBook Adorable. So the MacBook 12-inch and a new iMac. Not a new iMac Pro, but a regular iMac.
Yeah, that one is pretty much up for refresh now. The last refresh was it last year or even 2 years ago? It's been a while. So, and that's something we could definitely see here.
Yeah.
But we didn't bring it up in the poker. Our bets were a bit limited this time. Let us know, by the way, if you feel like this version of the poker, which was a little bit shorter and a little bit more focused, if you like this or if you prefer the longer ones where we have more freedom or maybe something in between. We'll see.
Maybe 7 for each one.
Yeah, maybe hit that sweet spot somewhere there. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We are super excited about this new event. And again, feel free to join our after show on this upcoming Monday as we record. It's Monday the 29th, where we're going to talk more about our predictions. And of course, on the next episode of this show, we're going to analyze the event and talk about what happened and the new products and some first initial impressions and maybe even some first initial spelunking results. Who knows? So look forward to that as well. But this is it for this episode, so you can find everything about this show at stacktracepodcast.fm, and you can find Mr. Rambo on Twitter at _inside, and you can find me at John Sundell. And that's it for now, so say goodbye, Mr. Rambo.
Goodbye.